Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
That, of course, is REM's End of the World, but it's just the beginning. Journalist Bryant Urstadt wrote a story about the subject for Harper's Magazine called Imagine There's No Oil, Scenes from a Liberal Apocalypse. Urstadt attended the second conference on peak oil. He told Steve Paulson that the future as seen by the peak oil people involves something worse than inconvenience.
If you don't have oil, you can't drive your car. You can't fix your roads. The way the world is set up now, food typically comes from a very long way away. It is produced in a way that is very energy intensive with, you know, giant sort of corporate farms, which use quite a bit of fertilizer, which is also derived from fossil fuels, and then shipped great distances to get to the final gourmet at the other end. And when that collapses, your first issue is people are going to be hungry. This is the peak oilers' view of how it's going to play out. Starvation is a major thing, and from that is going to basically be all kinds of war and conflict and a fight over the remaining resources, not only oil, but food. Other things that are going to disappear are easy water supplies and, oh gosh, pretty much everything. Plastics, you know, shoes, for instance. One issue that came up again and again is the fact that the United States has essentially outsourced all of their shoe manufacturers, except for a very few people who actually make beautiful shoes but might not be useful in the coming post-apocalyptic world, has outsourced all these shoes to China and other countries. And if they're over there with no oil to get them back, where are we going to get our shoes from? So every sort of facet of life as we know it today will be affected in their view.
This has been called the liberals' apocalypse. Why is that?
Well, it does seem to fit in with kind of a few what might be considered liberal ways of looking at the world. And I haven't quite worked out exactly why that is. And in fact, I think that if you could call the religious apocalypse a more conservative version of the apocalypse, you might actually find that there's way more similarities than differences in kind of the general template of the apocalypse. So maybe that's not fair to call it purely a liberal thing when you look at it in that big picture. But in the sort of here and now picture, I think liberals have traditionally been very agitated about use of resources, pressure on the natural world. You know, the oil companies are certainly not a favorite of what might be considered the liberal mindset. And it also fits into a lot of things that liberals have been worrying about for a long time. Population growth is a huge one. And when you go and talk to these people, they are all basically liberals. That's the other reason.
Now, the idea of peak oil has been around for decades, right? I mean, this notion that we're going to start running out of oil at a certain point.
Well, yeah, and the idea that we're going to run out of energy, in fact, has been around for hundreds of years, really ever since the concept of entropy was invented. Lord Kelvin himself was really anxious about the world kind of winding down once he had established that, you know, energy is not this kind of constant thing that is lasts in a useful way forever, that it tends to dissipate. He was on about that in, you know, 1850 or whatever. And recently, and it sort of comes in cycles, we've worried about it too. The modern version of peak oil was formulated by M. King Hubbert, who was a geologist at Shell and just a brilliant guy who plotted a chart and really accurately predicted when the United States' production of oil would peak. In 1956, he called it to be around 1970, and he was pretty much dead on.
Hmm. So American production of oil has been declining since the 1970s.
Yes. He also went ahead and calculated out the value, as he saw it, for world production, and he predicted that it would happen around 2000. His work is a major basis for the peak oilers' view of the world. And that also suits many apocalypse templates in that there's an actual date when it's going to happen. That's a pretty common thing that I found when I started looking at these things.
Okay, well, we've already passed the year 2000. Was he right?
Well, no. We have not peaked. We seem like we might be close to peaking. We're not just running away up the side of a curve, but the production is increasing at last that I checked. But an important thing that I also found was that the fact that a predicted date had passed was really of no importance in the health of a movement. It just didn't factor in. People would rationalize it out and formulate a new date, and that's essentially what's happened. It's now been pushed back to 2010 by the people who study this sort of thing.
It's fascinating what you're suggesting. I mean, you're tying in this peak oil movement to apocalyptic movements in the past that tend to be more religiously based. I mean, you know, those notions that, you know, at a certain date, the world will end and, I don't know, we'll all ascend to heaven or something like that. But you're saying there are some similarities between those explicitly spiritual ideas and this peak oil movement.
I feel that to be true. You know, who knows if it is true, but it seems right to me. And part of what I did when I was paying attention to this was I read the book of Revelation, which is sort of an obvious thing to do. But the description and the parameters of destruction that are set out in Revelation are not so far away from the things that people are worrying about in peak oil, which makes me think there's just kind of a scheme for the end that just kind of suits the way we are as people for some reason. There's flooding in Revelation. There's pestilence. And peak oilers often talk about how, as the medical system breaks down, there is going to be huge suffering in terms of epidemics and stuff. There is war. Revelation is very specific about, you know, the great armies meeting on the fields of Megiddo, I think. That's Armageddon. And the peak oilers are serious about the idea that particularly China and the United States will probably get into some terrible war over the remaining oil in the Middle East. I could go on if I could remember more examples, which I might be able to. But
what about all the alternative energies that are out there that are in active production in some circles? I mean, there's wind, there's solar power, hydro. Some people even talk about nuclear, of course. I guess that's not exactly an alternative energy, but are these seen as viable alternatives to oil?
Well, if you're a serious peak oiler, no, none of the alternative energies will pick up the slack, and they have crunched just endless books full of numbers that seem to prove their case. At some point, it becomes a question of how you look at the world and what you think about the ways, you know, how clever you think people are. And I happen to think people are just too clever and will figure it out. The peak oilers take a little bit bleaker view, and they don't think. And they've run a lot of numbers which do make sense, that as it currently configured, that solar panels and wind and stuff can take up the slack. I think we're in a golden age right now, and there's some really cool things that are going to start happening, and I think they already have, but that's my personal point of view. So,
now, given these disaster scenarios that the peak oilers themselves have come up with, how are they preparing for the future?
Well, they're getting ready to go back to the land in a way that's a lot more extreme than the back to the landers went when they went back to the land in the 70s. Because they're getting ready to go back to the land without any help from modernity. So they are talking about things like root cellars. They're talking about very small, very energy efficient villages, which are kind of closely built with the fields kind of radiating along the outside so that all food production will be local.
And I'm assuming all these villages would be off the grid. I mean, they would be generating their own energy.
They talk a lot about, generating their own energy. They talk about wind power. Animal traction is a great term that I had never heard, which basically means plowing your field with an ox or other animal.
Wow.
Yes. I have a book here called The Long Emergency by James Howard Kunstler and is quoted widely by peak oilers. And on the back is a picture of a horse pulling an old car with a guy sitting on the hood. Yeah, that's sort of their vision of the future. But they're very interested in learning how to do all the things that were probably commonplace or known by a lot of people in your sort of local neighborhood in the 19th century. They want to learn how to make shoes. They talk about how to can stuff. The people I talked to were in New York City, and they didn't have much familiarity with a lot of these skills, including familiarities with guns. And they actually went out on a sort of a field trip to learn how to use guns because they thought they might need to. And in their vision of the world, I guess they would.
Now, I've heard that one common piece of advice is that we should start buying gold.
Well, yes, of course, once the oil is gone, the economy is going to be useless because the industrial economy is kind of a big house of paper and trust. It's not like an old-fashioned economy where you had goods in your store and you sold them for money or other things. And the traditional standby in this kind of thing is gold. And I talked to a lot of people who were buying gold, and they suggested that I buy gold. And this was a year and a half ago, and they were right. I should have put all of my money into gold.
The value of gold has gone up, or the value of the dollar has
gone up by
down?
About, well, the gold has gone up about 50%, yeah.
Wow.
So I would have been, wouldn't have had to rely on this writing gig anymore. Could have retired to my armed to an armed village,
but maybe it's not too late. You can still go out and buy some gold.
Well, of course, you're right. I should. I keep meaning to. But of course, gold is the gold standard. So I know a lot of people, and I've actually seen one of their coins. You know, it's they're really doing it. Some of them are stockpiling food. You know, they're getting ready. They feel that when it happens, it's really going to happen quickly. It's going to be a panic, not a kind of slow degradation.
Brian Erstadt is a freelance writer from Connecticut. His piece, Imagine There's No Oil, was written for Harper's Magazine.